salvation and the hope of eternal life. We thank you, Lord God. And so as we come together here this day, you know, many are still traveling and getting back from summer, but here we are. We have gathered here. Those who are here, we have gathered to hear a word from you. We pray that you'll speak a word now, Lord, because we're listening. Speak a word of peace and of hope and of love and of forgiveness. Speak, Lord God, for your children are listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge, you are our Savior, you are our Lord, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. And now we have a subject matter which is always testing for us. It's always testing for those of us who try to do good, but certainly for those of us who follow Jesus Christ. My sermon title today is Forgiven, Paid Forward. If you know you're forgiven, you got to pay it forward. What does paid forward means? For those of us who are not kind of on the hip kind of talk, paid forward, it is different from paid back. You know, sometimes a payback, it can be something good, but a payback is normally not something good. I'm going to pay you back for what you did to me. Paid forward is to respond to a person's kindness to oneself by being kind to someone else. Right? So when someone is kind to you, someone is kind to a person, when you paid forward, that means you're going to find somebody else to be kind to. Right? You remember that TV program they had? It was one of those true programs, whatever they call them. Not a story made up. It was about paid forward, and there were people who were in need, and the person who was leading the show, they would find them, they would hear about them, they needed a house or they needed a job, and they would receive that through different donations, and then it was their responsibility to find somebody else, whether to do some good work in the community, but to pay it forward and to continue a change to pay it forward. But friends, this morning, I've come to remind you and to tell you that we who believe in Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Amen. We who accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been forgiven. Amen. If you don't want to receive it, I'm reminding you that it's freely given. Right? It's a gift freely given. And because we have been forgiven, we have to what? Pay it forward. We have to be, as Christians, the most forgiven people they are. We know it's difficult, but we are supposed to strive to do that, because we have got the greatest gift of all in forgiveness. We know that. We should know that well. You know, there is one of the songwriters says, you know, that we have in our book, I'm shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and he made me whole. We have been touched and we have been made whole. We have got in our religion as Christians one of the greatest gift of forgiveness, and that began at the cross. We know that. It's all Jesus said on the cross. Forgive them because they know not what they do, right? And then the songwriter says, since I've met the blessed Savior, since he has cleansed and made me whole, I'll never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls, because he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and I'm personalizing that for me. He touched me, and oh, what joy that floods my soul. Something has happened to me, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. And I am therefore should be one, since I am quite aware that the Lord has forgiven me, I should be a very forgiven person. I am striving to be a very forgiven person. And let me tell you, there are times when it's so hard, I have to work at it. Right? We have to work at it, and this text is reminding us today. And so this reflection on forgiveness written in stone. And here's this story that I read. And the story is told of two friends. They were walking through the desert. And during some point of the journey, they had an argument. And one friend slapped the other on the face. The one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, wrote in the sand, "Today my best friend slapped me in the face." They kept on walking until they found an oasis where they decided to take a bath. And the one who had been slapped got stuck in the mud and started drowning. But the friend saved him. And so his friend saved him, and after he recovered from nearly drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." His friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on a stone. Why?" And the other friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in the sand where the winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone where no wind can ever erase it." So the moral of the story says, when we get hurt, we really should what? Aim to forget it. We have to work hard to forgive. Not necessarily forget, but to forgive. So when we write it in the sand, right, the sand gets blown away, washed away, it goes into the past. But when good things are done to us, done for us and to us, we should write it on stone so we could keep it forever. Amen. Right? We could keep the good forever, and the things that are not good, we write it in the sand so it's washed away with the things of life. What an imagery, right? What an imagery. And I'm going to keep remembering that when I get a little hurt, I'm going to be writing it in the sand, you know, metaphorically, right? Writing it in the sand so I do not have to bring it in. Now, do you remember that this little chorus that we sing that says, "Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life." That's our Savior. We are a grace-blessed people as Christians. And therefore, we should be a grace-filled people. On your cover of your bulletin, today, there's a saying that says, "Forgiveness is something that everyone needs, eager to receive, but very hard to give." Forgiveness is something that everyone needs. We are eager to receive it, but very hard to give. Forgiveness is not always easy. One writer says, "At times it feels more painful than the wound we suffer to forgive the one that inflicted it. And yet, there is no peace without forgiveness." Real forgiveness keeps on leaving the sins of others and our hurts in the past. Yet Jesus understands the difficulty of such forgiveness. To keep on forgiving is a God-like characteristic. It is contrary to human nature. And so in this parable today, Jesus is going to remind us. He knows how hard forgiveness is. Even the ones who were following him knows how hard forgiveness is. Even Peter, God bless Peter, knows how forgiveness is. And so Jesus begins this parable. First of all, Peter begins this part of the story, and Peter says, you know, if you read the text earlier on in Matthew Gospel, right before this, last week Jesus was talking about when there's conflict in the church, right? You should bring the person, speak to the person first, and then bring it to the church, and then keep trying to work it out. I wish the Long Island Council Church had thought about that, right? When there's conflict, you get a one-on-one with the person first, right? One-on-one. You remember last week's text? There's a conflict. I should come to Ellen and speak to her if I have a conflict with her. And then if that doesn't work, then I bring a couple of more people and try to work it out. And if that doesn't work, then I bring it to the entire church. I bring it like the church council. So together, because we are always aiming for reconciliation. That was last week's text, right? That I preached on, always striving for reconciliation. Never striving for division and to hurt people. Well, so he's continuing speaking to the people. Jesus is continuing. And so Peter now comes up, and Peter has the nerve. You know, Peter is bold, and he says, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or a sister who hurts me?" And Peter thinks he's smart. He says, "Seven? Seven times?" He wants a number. Peter wants a number. Church, we're going to open up our eyes today, because my eyes is wide open and my ears are open. Jesus doesn't have a number. Peter wants a number. He says, seven. And Jesus replied, and in the Message Bible it says, seven hardly. Try 70 times seven. And by saying this, Jesus was not giving him a multiplication. What are we going to say? It's 490. Or some people say it's 77 times 7, 593. He really was giving him, trying to let him understand that it cannot be multiplied. Right? It's a number that cannot be multiplied. You cannot keep a ledger. You're not supposed to keep a ledger of how many times somebody has hurt you. You know, some of us have ledgers, don't we? We have, or some people have ledgers. You know what a ledger is. We have our notepads about what people, oh, you hurt me last week, or you hurt me, forget last week. There are people was walking around with for unforgiveness for 50 years. You know, you hurt me 50 years ago on May 15, 19, 1960, you hurt me. And I can't forgive you again because you hurt me. Ledgers, right? We're keeping track. And now we have our iPhone. We're probably putting it in our iPhones now. You know, so we could remember how much. Nobody here is doing that. I'm just telling you, people out there. Because we're good Christian people. We are not doing that, are we? But people out there, right? Right, Zamzam? People out there, Zamzam. You're not. Right? So here's it. Jesus is letting him know Christians should only be capable of forgiveness, right? And so Jesus wants him to understand. Jesus wants him to understand how important it is. You know, Peter wants a number so badly. He wants to say, after I've forgiven you four times, then I'm now done. Now, as I see Reverend Pina today, I didn't know she was really going to show up here today. I'm thinking, my God, oh, the Lord is working on your heart and my heart today, because we have got to get to a place of forgiveness with what has gone on, with some things that has gone on. Yeah. She's not there yet, and we're praying for her. Right? But that's what God does. God would have us show up on a Sunday where we are struggling with forgiving something that has happened to one of our colleagues, and we are struggling with it. Do you see how God is? And when I was reading this, I said, God, can't you just leave me alone sometimes? Let me just wallow in my, let me be angry, right, and unforgiving for a moment. And Jesus says, no, because what? It's not good for us, right? It's not good for us, right? So here's what Jesus, now Jesus was so wise, and is so wise, he tells a parable. He tells a parable, and he says, and I'm going to paraphrase the parable, because the parable says, here was a king, and the king had a servant, and the servant owes the king, right, a lot of money. The Message Bible says thousands of dollars, so lots of money. Those things were not called dollars then. I'm telling you, he's reading the word, 10,000 talents, and we put that in dollars, thousands of dollars. And the servant went to the king and says, could you please forgive me? I do not have any money, in essence, right? I cannot pay you now. And, I mean, the king could have taken his children and his wife and his children and sold them into slavery, right? Because in those days, that's what happened. You had to pay your debt, and he couldn't. But the man fell down on his knees, the text says, and he was seeking mercy. And do we serve a God of mercy? Yes. Full of grace. He was seeking mercy. He fell down on his knees and he asked for mercy. And the man forgave him. The king forgave him, gave him grace, and said, go forth. Go forth. Well, he leaves. And he, a fellow servant, now owes him. Right? The same man that has been forgiven by the grace of the king, another person owes him. Owes him too, because, you know, it's like a cycle. And the guy comes to him and say, you know, I can't pay you now. That's Jesus' parable. Jesus is so good, isn't it? Over 2,000 years and it still stands. He knew what was going to happen today. Now, this week. He says, I can't pay you. I'm in trouble and I cannot pay you. And he grabbed him, the Bible says, by the throat and was mean and evil to him and would not forgive him. Give him a beating, so to speak. Right? He had just been forgiven, this man. Would not forgive him, grab him and shake him up and threaten to take his family. And the other people saw it and went back to the king. And in essence, when they went back to the king was angry. The king summoned the man and says, you evil servant, I forgave you. I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy? Right? When you have been forgiven. And the king was furious and he put the screws. The Message Bible says it. I love the Message Bible. It's very modern. He says he put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. He says, since you do not understand forgiveness, you'd better pay back your entire debt now. And then Jesus says, and that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally. Anyone who asks for mercy. That God is not going to be pleased with us when we do not forgive unconditionally. It's hard. It's hard when you're hurt. It's hard when you've been put upon. But let me give you a couple of points on being a forgiving person. Asking for forgiveness is an act of humility. Because when someone has hurt you, right? Your pride and your ego, you all know me in this church, folks. You mess with me, I'm gonna wanna mess with you. You know how the Lord just works on me every day. I'm next to the, listen, I'm talking to the Lord moment by moment because, you know, Lord has called me to serve him, but you mess with me and Lord knows you mess with my kid or something. You say, I could be so angry for years, but I have got to find it in me to do what? Sometimes I have to get on my knees and pray and cry and, you know, and as I'm praying and crying and asking God, help me, I don't feel it, Jesus. Holy Spirit, can you help me? Let me say the words.
Excuse me, Pastor.
Yes.
You forgive very quickly. You get angry very quickly. You forgive very quickly.
Well, I'm getting a blessing word here from, thank you, Zamzam, to remind me. It all depends on the thing. There's some things that are bigger, Zamzam, that takes me a while. But in essence, because I've been worked on by the Lord, thank you, that I have gotten to a place where I'm easier to forgive now. Yes, and all her bruises are gone, she says. And thank you for that, Zamzam. Yes. But there are things that I get angry about that I hold on to, right, that I have to work on. But each day I'm striving to forgive. See, it is not the fact that it's easy, but I'm striving. I'm on my knees before the Lord. This is what I'm trying to do. On my knees before the Lord for asking for forgiveness. And we have to, not just me, all of you have to do the same thing. Because after all, forgiveness heals relationships by requiring us to let go, to turn the page, to refuse the right to hold on to bitterness and anger. Right? Forgiveness demands of us. And do you know sometimes we go through unforgiveness and we don't forgive someone, and guess what happens? Guess who's in pain? We are. Do you know we're in pain? The person we have unforgiveness, sometimes they don't even know. Right? They don't even know when we're walking around in pain, and they don't even know. And people have died with unforgiveness. Died with without forgiveness. Loved ones have died without forgiveness. And we have not, I've done funerals where people are crying. Oh, I didn't tell my mother that I love her. I didn't tell her that I forgave her. And such happened 30 years ago, and I never spoke to her. And they're, it's too late. They're weeping and crying. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. Forgiveness, in short, sets things right again. Forgiveness is a powerful healing force, but also an incredible difficult thing to receive or share, this writer says. Peter asks about limits. Peter really wants to get limits, like most human beings. And Peter was following Jesus. And he should have known that Jesus would not have said that. But Peter wanted a nice little formula. He wanted to keep a ledger book. Because Peter's as human as us. He wanted, and I probably would have probably, who knows, as human being and have an analytic mind like I do, I probably would have said, Jesus, when the 20th time is finished, am I done? Right? That's what in essence Peter was saying. And Jesus was saying to him, throw away the ledger book. Throw away the notepad. Right? Don't keep track. Don't keep track of how many times someone does. Keep forgiving. Just keep forgiving because it's better for you. It is better for you. Church, I'm encouraging you this morning. Oh, let us be like Christ. In this case, not like Peter, but like Christ. Let us strive to be like Christ.
Amen.
Right? We are more like Peter, but we need to strive to be like Christ. Because he's the only one that is pure and true and holy and righteous. He's the only one who went on a cross and died for your sin and my sin and said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. He's
Amen.
The only one. Huh? He was wounded for our transgressions. And he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by every stripes we healed both spiritually and physically. So Jesus turns Peter around and he reminds him of grace. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is sufficient for you and for me. That's what the songwriter says. Grace, grace, God's amazing grace, grace that will forgive us of all of our sins this morning. Church, we are called to higher standards as Christians. We are called to act at a higher level. It's not our deeds that are going to do it. God is not impressed with our deeds. He's impressed with how we live our lives. It's not our deeds. We could do all the good deeds we can. That's easy for people to do good deeds. He's interested in our hearts and a humble heart. And so Paul tells the church at Roman, he says, then therefore stop judging each other. Stop judging one another, Paul says. He said, welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling or opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. Paul is saying here to the church, this is what brings on forgiveness. Why? Because we're always judging others. We're always judging what they do. I tell you, if you want to be free, free at last, if you want to be free, is to start practicing forgiveness. He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Why do you despise your own brother or sister? He says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat. And then Paul is going to end this piece. He says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, and every tongue shall praise the Lord. So then, we are all accountable to God for ourselves. Church, if there's anybody here suffering from unforgiveness, I encourage you. It is so free. You don't need to go see a shrink. You don't need to go see somebody that you have to lay on a couch and talk to. You talk to the man called Jesus, Amen. Our Savior and Lord. He understands. He knows where we're struggling. You go speak to him. He'll walk with you, as the song says, and he'll talk with you. And he'll tell you, and he'll weep with you. Because we have a Savior who is fully human and then fully divine.
Amen.
He'll hold our hands. He walked the earth, so he knows how human beings feel. And then he was fully divine. He knows, and he would give us that gift. Talk to him. Ask him to help you. Lord, help me to forgive. Lord, teach me by your Holy Spirit. Lord, walk with me through this. Free me so I could pick up a phone and call that person and says, not keeping a ledger, just says, you know what, let's move on. I forgive you. Freely given, freely receive. And so today, church, Jesus wants us to remember that forgiveness is the key. Let's strive for that. It is better. Your deeds are not that important to Jesus. We could serve on every single committee in the church. We could work upside every day, night and day. We could give every dime we have. Yet still it's a heart that's changed that Jesus is interested in. He died for us, not for what we do. Died so we may have the hope of eternal life. Oh, what a Savior we have. What a Lord that we have. He says we could call on him and he'll answer and he'll show us new and mighty things that we do not know. Call on him today and he'll answer. Amen.
Amen.